By God's grace, I want to speak today at the end of the year on reflecting. So take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes. Very familiar verses. I'd like to read these and then pray and then we'll continue. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You will hear people in the world, literary people, like to quote these verses. And certainly, you'll hear Christians reference them at times in their own lives. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love. A time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. We'll stop there. Amen. Let me pray briefly. Father, this calendar year, these days, these weeks, these months are yours. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord, for mercy upon mercy through 2014. Lord, we're here today in the grace of God, for the glory of God, for the preeminence of your Son, for His testimony, for the gospel, for the kingdom of God. We're here for your purposes, for the life of God and the soul of man to be broadcast, to be shed abroad. So today, Lord, help us to be grateful, to be reflective in the right way, and to give you all the praise through our Savior. Amen. So is the microphone working? We need this one on? You guys tell me. Can you hear me okay? Randy, you're back. You can hear me okay? Well, the writer here, Solomon, says, to everything there is a season, to everything. And the season of 2014 is almost over. Only 3 days left. It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? 3 days, another year. Just incredible. I said to Krista last night, I was mentioning a couple things that were 10 years ago. I said, it's almost 10 years ago. So what will you remember most about 2014? I know that coming through the fullness of December, just Christmas time, and all of a sudden we're at the end of the year. But what will you remember most of 2014? I think you should give this some thought. So before you and I launch into 2015, it can be very beneficial to pause and to remember and reflect on 2014. This can be very important to us at the individual level, as a husband and wife, even as a family. It can be very significant. Christians that have gone before us were good about doing this. And they would reflect and they would record things in their life. That's why we have some wonderful biographies that we enjoy and build us up and help us. They would reflect on the things that God did for them, in them, for them. And so it's meaningful. It has endurance. It's passed on to your children, your grandchildren, to other Christians. Does anybody in here keep a yearly calendar? I'm not talking about on your handheld device. I'm talking about a real calendar, paper calendar. Does anybody keep one of those? Okay. Well, I keep them just because I look ahead to blocks of time and activities and events and scheduling. And so when you have a calendar like that, you tend to have this record of what happened in the year. I like to put birthdays down and other key things to think ahead towards. So I was starting my 2015 calendar, and I started using my 2014 calendar as a reference point, right? Got to carry those over. It was certain dates. And so when I did that, I would get to pages and I would just stop. I would just stop. I'd just be reflective and I'd think, wow. And it made me think of the events and the travels, some of the trips that I made, either with Chris and the children or some that I make with my father. It made me think of the people, birthdays. On my calendar, I put my little grandson's and my granddaughter's birthday, and I put little smiley faces. If you ever want to see one of my calendars, you might get a kick out of it. But it's special to me. So the people, the joys, the difficulties. I got to June, and I wrote down Mac's surgery, and I had a little kind of little face that looked kind of sad. And then I got to Krista's surgery date in October, and those are recorded. So what did it do? It made me reflect, made me think back. And I saw in it the mercies of God all the way. You see that it's God that carries us all the way. So today I would like for you, with me, to reflect back on 2014. As one of the elders, I want to touch on this in your lives. And this will be my ninth year to do this in a row, and it could be Lee or Mac. It comes from all of us. So those men could do the same thing, if not much better, this morning. But from us and from my heart to you, I want to reflect on our lives, your lives. Jeff and Tommy have been through this a lot. Tom and Betty have been through it a lot. Ron and Karen. I call it holy meddling. I'm just going to take a quick glance at things that came to my mind and heart. And it's in love. It's not in any intent to do anything other than to reflect for a moment with each of you on certain events, certain points of your life and our lives together. So rest assured, it's all in love. It may be emotional for me. I'll try to hold myself together because there comes points of time that you feel it again. You go back to those moments and you feel the weight of it or the joy of it. But as a starting point, before we get into the seasons of the Providence Chapel, brethren, I want to take a quick glance back at the seasons across the globe. Just a few of them. Just a few touch points. The world falls into this category. To everything, there is a season and a time purpose under the heavens. So, as you step back and think of 2014, these truths apply in the global sense. There is a time to be born. Anybody know who Gina and Jillian Thistlethwaite are? They're precious little twins that were born in 2014. They are called mono-mono twins, monoamniotic twins. They shared the same placenta and amniotic sac. Very rare. These two girls were born, this is kind of a national picture if you look it up, holding hands when they were born. Now you talk about sisterhood, they shared everything and they're born holding hands. What a picture. So there is a time to be born, and the Thistlethwaite twin girls have been born into the world. There's a time to die, a time to die. A lot of people of notoriety die, per se, notoriety. A lot of people that you may know, distant family members or a friend or even somebody very close to you like this brother that was just shared about, lost his wife after 63 years. A time to die. A man named Red Klotz died. Probably nobody in here knows him, but several of you do know him, but you didn't realize it. He was perhaps the greatest loser in sports of all time and a happy loser. He lost over 14,000 times. He played for the Washington Generals. Tom, you know who the Washington Generals are? Who are they, Ron? They play basketball, but they always play to lose because they play the Harlem Globetrotters. And Red Klotz played for them and played in over 14,000 games and lost every one of them. And he died this past year. I was a little boy, 10 years old, in Hawaii in 1971, and I went to see the Harlem Globetrotters. And I bet you Red Klotz was playing that day. And sadly, a time to die, Robin Williams and others, actors or people there, Robin Williams committed suicide at age 63 and the world was stunned. Stunned. But the reality is the world doesn't have any answers. Jesus Christ has the answer. He that will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's will find it. It stirs us to say there are a lot of Robin Williams who are not famous, but they're perishing, they don't have Christ, and they need Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. So it was sad. It was reflective to the world. But I didn't hear anybody giving answers on mainstream media per se. Jesus Christ says, come to me and you'll have life. There's a time to plant, which means there's times for new beginnings, right? New things, new starts, new beginnings. There's a lot of them in 2014. Apple introduced the iPhone 6. Whoop-dee-doo. That's Philip's honest opinion. The world goes crazy for iPhone 6s? Perhaps they should get out and do a few other things. Maybe get the two volumes of Spurgeon's biography, autobiography or something. You want to get excited about something. But new things, new gadgets, new beginnings all around. That's the free market in America. You see it everywhere all the time. There's a time to pluck up. Time to uproot. There's times that are new beginnings. There's times to change. Times for going on. People get changing the life they didn't plan on. Lee travels almost halfway around the world to preach and never got to preach. In the Philippines, there's a time to be uprooted. The Kilauea volcano in Hawaii, which was on the news a lot back in October. You remember that volcano? You see pictures of it? And those little villages, those little towns. I went to that island when I was a boy. Our family went. And I can kind of picture sections of it. That lava would just be, here it comes. You're not going to stop it. And people got uprooted. Small homes and some businesses and, you know, just roads would just be completely covered over. Things get uprooted. And in December, the rains just recently in California, you talk about flooding. Incredible. People were uprooted. They'll never live in those places again, perhaps, because of the floods, the damage. But it shows us the frailty, right? All of our frailty. All of our frailty. Man is frail. God is eternal. Man is a breath. God's forever. There's a time to heal. A time to heal. New York City, 13 years later after September 11th, is continuing to try to heal. And so they built almost at $4 billion the first new Trade Center tower. It's called the One Trade Center, One World Trade Center. That's the technical name of it in New York. And it opened in November. 3 days later, Chris and I had our doctor visit that we had to go to, and we were up there and we could see that, the new tower. It's called the Freedom Tower because it's a symbol. The locals call it the Freedom Tower. But you know what? When you think about time to heal, buildings don't heal anybody. Again, only Jesus Christ heals the souls of men. Buildings are just that. They're just a building. Money's just money. Things are just things. Christ is in us. He saves us in the inner man. He gives us life. He gives us joy in the inner man. So there is a time to heal, but it's only in Christ. A time to weep. Boy, this could go on and on. I'll have to be quick. A time to weep. Back in March, you remember the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370? What happened to that? It disappeared. And it's never been found. If I'm still accurate, it has never been located. Unless it was somebody who did it as a planned taking it out. Unless that happened, then nobody other than the living God knows where that plane went down. You think about that. And it caused such sorrow. I remember seeing pictures or imagery that families for weeks were holding out hope, weeping, weeping, desperately hoping they would hear some news. Time to weep. The ISIS militants have committed atrocities, insanities against innocent civilians that have brought agony to family members who could only sit and watch family members be put to death, be killed. Shows you the demonic, wicked, idolatrous, evil of men and the pagan idols that they serve, the false gods. They're lost. They're without hope. And they brought a lot of weeping. There's a time to laugh, though. A time to laugh. Where's Charles? There he is. Do you know of NASA's space rover named Curiosity? Yes, I knew he would. You need information in these kind of areas, you go to that young man. Well, the NASA personnel sat back and laughed while they watched Curiosity go cruising around Mars taking pictures. Have you seen any of that? Pictures? And you know, that's kind of their thing. NASA, hey, we got a little gadget on Mars that's taking pictures. I'm kind of like that, like an iPhone 6. Whoop-dee-doo. You know, it's a big deal. It's a big accomplishment. But for what purpose? We're just going to laugh. We spend all that money and effort so we just laugh at the pictures it takes. Anyway, it is funny. It's funny in an advancement way, and it's funny in just to reflect on it. There's a time to mourn. Time to mourn. People across the world mourned when the Islamic militant group abducted over 200 schoolgirls. Remember that? And they sold them into slavery. They still have not been rescued out of it. There's a lot of mourning. People across the world said, what in the world? Because there's false idols that men serve. Satan dupes men into the idolatry of their own wicked heart. They follow wicked things. And they do evil. It just shows us men are depraved. Men need God. And the Ebola epidemic, which has been in the news for months and months and months, has caused a lot of mourning. In West Africa alone, it's caused over to date 5,600 deaths. So it's substantial. And it continues to be a great crisis, medically speaking. There's a time to mourn, all right. There's a time to dance. I guess I'm just going to always think of you now when I think of a time to dance. Because we had that moment together where we got to laugh together. There's a time to dance. Anybody watching the World Cup? Man, they're around the world dancing. They're excited until they lost. And they all go home. Right? I was getting my oil changed. Sitting there by myself, getting an oil change. And U.S. was playing somebody. And I'm watching it. And I keep looking up. I'm kind of getting into it. This is kind of fun. And those are great athletes. And so they would flash around the world. And they'd show these people in the big urban plazas and big public spaces. And they'd be dancing and celebrating. But who got to dance in the end? Germany. Germany won the World Cup. They were the only ones dancing at the end. There's a time to embrace, to come together. Total strangers in Australia embraced after they rescued a man on a commuter train. Have you heard this story? This man got his leg pinned between the train and the track. The platform, I mean. There's a platform, there's a space, and he got his leg pinned. And he was in a bad way, obviously. And total strangers ends up embracing, because what did they do? Have you seen pictures of it? They lined up on the commuter train, people, and they pushed the train where they could rescue him. Forget 911. They just got the train and said, we're going to take care of it. And they pushed it and got him out and they rescued him. He lived. It was a time to embrace, a time of celebration. There's a time to be silent. Time to be silent. I wish at Washington and other places they'd finally get silent at times. Seek God. But there's time to be silent. Oscar Pistorius, you know the Olympic runner, remember him? He sat in silence for weeks while the trial for shooting his girlfriend drug on and drug on and drug on. It was a major story, major story. Time to be silent. He had his time to express a few things apparently, but it just went on, and he's just sitting there. He was eventually convicted of a certain crime or offense. But anyway, it was a time of silence for him. And lastly, there's a time to speak. Again, I'm talking about in the world. The Ferguson death of Michael Brown, which everybody's probably familiar with, that whole very intense scene there in Ferguson, has caused protests all over America. Certain people feel like, I've got to say something. They have certain liberties in America to do that. Violence has certainly been spoken out against, I think, effectively by city leaders and national leaders. But the Ferguson death has caused a lot of people to want to say things. And you can understand that at different levels. I won't even go after that topic, but let me speak of another or mention another on speaking. The shame of legalizing gay marriages has caused pastors across America to speak out against this sin from God's Word. They ought to be free to speak too, shouldn't they? It's wrong. Legalizing gay marriages is wrong. It's just wrong. It's evil. It's sin. It's not even a big debate according to God's Word. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. And men ought to hear that that is wrong. It's sin. They can't be allowed to just go on and conduct themselves in a certain way. God says that's sin. It'll destroy you. So there is a time to speak. There's a time to stand up. We passed the 40-year mark. 40 years of the Roe versus Wade case. 41. Maybe I've said that wrong. But they have to keep speaking the truth. Well, that's just a quick glance at 2014. The times, the seasons that have happened. And this probably makes you think back of events that impacted you or really stun you in a way. But how about the events in your lives? To every purpose, there is a time to every purpose in your life and my life. Children, God owns and rules the days, our life, our breath, where we are, who we are. God is on the throne. He's not passive. He's active. He rules. He reigns. And so to every time and to every purpose, God rules. And there's hope in it. I appreciate the reading William read of that Romans 5 passage. And I think it said, experience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So the purposes in our lives have grace for the Christian. There's a time to be born in the Christian. Ebony, David, new daughter, Jocelyn. Just sitting back there, laying back there, resting. New gift of God, new daughter, another daughter. Jonathan, Elena, they're not here today. I've been looking around trying to take inventory who all's here. I got everybody on my list, so hang on. Jonathan and Elena rejoice for their first son, Enoch. I turned to Jonathan leaving Mac and Linda's the other night, and I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, you have a son. He's going to grow up quickly. Love him. Teach him in God's ways. May God do great things in him. Baby, being Enoch, he walked with God. Stephen and Kathy, they're not here today. They have another son, Aiden. What a gift of God. Another son, another child, another one to train up in God's ways. There's a time to be born. Tommy has a new baby on the way. Caitlin has a new baby on the way. What a gift of God. Children are a gift of God. They are. There's a time to be born. You ought to reflect on your own days, your own life. We got a good laugh the other day in our home because one of our early, early pictures of Christus and my being together, that print that her mother had or something, she dug it out. You talk about looking young. No, brother, I can say that. But it's something. A time to be born, and then boom, life. We move on. Jocelyn, Enoch, Aiden, our children, they're God's gifts. They're God's gift to you. You know that, but it's good to be reminded. And therefore, they're to be trained in His ways for His purposes. Their life is not their own, if I can be that bold. Right? They're given, God gave us life. Well, they live it to the glory of God. So there is a time to be born. What a thing that is to see a new life brought into the world. There's a time to plant, meaning to build up. There's time to just stay with something and build up and plant and be about it, be fruitful, continuing. Nick Hansen, he's continued to go through the months and sow the gospel at the abortion clinics, right? Reach out, speak to women, speak to others, talk to them about life, a life of a child, the importance of that life. But he's talking about bigger things, even bigger than the life of the child. He's saying, God rules. Christ is our Savior. Don't let this child be given over to death, but save the child. Live, let the child live. Look to Christ. And so he's been sowing the gospel. Ron and Karen have faithfully shared the gospel year after year through tracts, gospel tracts. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody passing out more gospel tracts than Ron Pulaski. Passing out the gospel, little tracts that can be passed out and thrown forth, or like seed being thrown out. And these are day-to-day encounters. These aren't Ron. I mean, Ron doesn't plan these encounters. Karen doesn't plan those. God just brings them to them. There's a time to plant, time to build up. They've been encouragement to me. I've been trying to learn more and more of this. And I meet people, street people, and different ones that God sends to me. And I've told a few of those stories. A time to plant. Lee and Amber continue to give themselves. And incredibly. Give themselves, give their home, give their strength, give their days, give their resources for the people of God, for whoever that is. I mean, that's real Christianity right there. That is the life of God being shed abroad in them outwardly to others. Giving, planting, building up. All of these, beloved, all of these are fruitful labors. All of us in different ways are about things like this. But there is a time to plant. Stay with it. And there's time to be fruitful. Remember how Paul said, being fruitful in every good work. To advance the kingdom of God. That's what building up and planting should be about. There's a time to pluck up that which is planted. Sometimes you're planting, sometimes you pluck up, meaning, doesn't it say in the ESV, uproot? Is that the word it uses? Yeah. There's a time that that chapter, those days are come to an end. We uproot, things are changed, it's been brought on, we move on, we go on with God, like the children of Israel, right? Things keep advancing along. Jared and Joanne and the family. They're going through the process of changing homes. It's real. It's a change. It is a change. And whatever God plants, and then when He plucks it up, go with Him with fresh faith and fresh joy. This uprooting, sometimes it's planned, sometimes it's not planned. But you can trust God to lead your steps. Michael and April moved back in the winter, as I remember us loading that truck and some of the young people carrying things. And so they moved. As I remember it, this is the first home they've been able to buy. Right? That's meaningful. God gives us those moments together. We should rejoice in those. I remember getting to go in non-flood time, getting to go in another time and having the joy of sitting there in their home, a new home. It's new. There's new hopes in that. And it can be God honoring, and God can be in that. And so we want to commit our ways to Him. Moving to a new home is not just a pragmatic thing, it should be full of faith. Rob Gabler. He's a special guy. I didn't really want him to go. But he had to. Of course, Rob's been with Gospel for Asia for years, and he's been sowing the gospel in a different kind of way, right? Friendships, young people, literature, the gospel going to other countries. Rebecca, Rebecca was with us very briefly, but she was here. And so by faith, they have to go with God. And there's new days and new, we've been praying for him here recently, particularly for Rob and what God has for him in terms of church, etc. And we'll see him at times, but he's not hearing the same anymore. It was a time to pluck up, time to uproot, time to change. Brother Michael Tolley, my anchor right, as I like to call him. I mean, anchor right. Talk about a guy you can set your watch by. He's steady and faithful and quiet. But Michael felt this calling to go back to his former church as a type of local missionary, to love them, to speak the truth, to speak for God's glory, to defend what is biblical and right, and to put a fresh perspective on what is traditional or historic or not necessary. And Michael shared that with Lee and Mac and I wonderfully. And I remember Lee and I driving home one time from their home, just kind of marveling at it, just the purity of really how he viewed it. Brother Michael, love him, cherish him. Of course, he's been through the wreck. And now God's building his physical strength again. So he has planted into a new work, a new gospel. So, beloved, change comes, right? Change comes. It does. There's a time to pluck up. There's a time to be planted. There's a time to pluck up. And change comes. But our focus has to be on growing in grace to keep advancing. Keep running the race. Keep going forward. Keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, looking unto Him with patience. So, yes, change comes. I'm the kind of guy that doesn't like change a lot. I'll be honest. My wife can't laugh out loud at me on that one. But it's true. But change comes, and your focus has to be on growing in grace. Go on with Him. It will not be the same group next year, God willing, if I live and I get to be here and get to do this, the privilege of doing this, it won't be the same mix anymore, right? I mean, the majority of this section over here, I didn't know them last year. It's true. So things get uprooted. There's a time to weep. Yes, there's a time for us, we weep. Courtney and David, but particularly what Courtney's been through with Anna. It's been a hard year. A mom's love for a child, it is a phenomenal thing. The unknown, how is she, and the seizures, and what is it? And the heaviness, even the brothers that were laboring. You remember the day after Thanksgiving, we were there, and Anna was really sick, had a really high fever, and we were praying for her. So there's a time that we weep. We're desperate. We need God. We need you to come. We need you to rescue. We need you to do great things. Help us, Lord. He wants to hear our cries. He loves to hear our cries to Him, figuratively and literally. It says in the Scriptures that He bottles up the tears of His people. That's what it says. So we don't weep in vain, right? We don't. Just recently, the man that lost his wife, they have 10 children from 12 down. That's heavy. It's hard. So there is a time that we weep. Carl and Marianne. The pain of older children, the pain of children that you love, what you feel, what you want for them. And I remember you pulling us aside, me and it seems like Mac or somebody else, but in the home. And sharing that with tears. There's time that you weep. And what do you do? What do you say to somebody? You love, you know, we feel the love. We feel your pain. But sometimes we just stay right there with people. Weep with them. Help them. Love them. There is a time to weep. Maria had hard days, continuing laboring alone without Jonathan. Maria with Gabby, being a mom, and all that you feel, and the wear and tear and the drain and the loneliness. Maria feels these things. There's been sorrow and heavy days, hard days. But God's with her. Look to Him. He hears us. He loves us. So in the hard days, we've all had different days of weeping in a sense. But in these hard days, we must all, hear me, beloved, we must all learn more and more, cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your burdens. Bring them to Him. He's not overloaded. He can handle it. He says, bring them to me. Come to me. I'm reading again. I'm back to the Gospel of Luke now. They're bringing situation after situation to Jesus Christ. He's healing. He's helping everyone. And the religious guys of their day are trying to kill Him. Something's wrong with this picture. I thought you guys knew what truth was. Obviously you don't. These people know what truth is. It's in Christ. They're coming to Him. He turned their weeping into laughing. Christ did. So, beloved, in our days of weeping, learn more and more to cast your cares upon Him because He cares for us. There is a time to laugh. It actually says in verse 4, there's a time to dance. Now, maybe only Brian and I are going to get to enjoy that one, but hopefully we can enjoy the context of that. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to celebrate. What did Miriam and the children of Israel do after the Red Sea closed up? They sang, they celebrated, they danced. What did David do when the ark finally came in the right way? He danced. There's celebration. So there is a time to laugh. There's a time to laugh unto praise, really. Kevin and Sherry got their new medical spa. Check that off the list. Hardly. That was worthy of dancing. That was a big deal. That was a precious thing, a special thing. How God did it, how it happened, how Kevin had done his research and what it would do for Sherry. And I think there's been, in months past, there's been some help or it's there, it's available. There's a time to laugh, time to celebrate these things. Seems like shortly after it opened, got it going. Didn't you ladies have a Bible study there? It's time to laugh. Mac and Linda got to laugh. I kind of wish I could have been in on this one. They got to go to Kirksville. Now, I know Kirksville. They didn't want y'all to laugh or dance or anything. Dick and Charles celebrated 40 years, right? 40 years of laboring together as pastors, as elders, as gospel ministers. And Mac and Linda got to go. Jeff, you ended up not getting to go, right? In God's providence. But Mac and Linda got to go up there with that church as guest, kind of, and his brethren that have been connected to that church for over 30 years in one way or another. They got to go and rejoice with them, celebrate, laugh, sing, be a part of that. That's awesome. It's very precious. It's God's gift. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. His kingdom endures. And those men have faithfully labored. And God has blessed the work. My dear wife got to smile and laugh after relief from her surgery. If you could have seen her 24 hours after that surgery, she hurt for so long. I mean, a few weeks, it didn't seem like long, right? Yeah, it was a long time. It was hard. And there wasn't a lot of laughing during that. For her or for me. But God carried her. I wanted to laugh when I saw her in recovery, but I realized, whoo, that's pretty substantial surgery. Amber and Lee got there shortly thereafter. I was barely holding together, wasn't I? That was hard. I've been through a lot with that girl. A lot. As I told Kathy and Tom last weekend, I used to take her to Sonic. We were teenagers. We had great days. We did. We got better days now by the grace of God. But her heaviness and her pain and all, just in the matter of when she came out of the surgery, instantly had relief. And the next day when I took her home, it was just joy. Brother Brian, I think I danced. I want you to know that. I wish you'd come over and you could have danced with me. Because I told you, when God gives a relief, I'm going to dance. Like my little grandsons like to do. God is good. Truly God is good to Israel. So God gives us great moments for joy and laughter together, doesn't He? I mean, we ought to have liberty in Christ to enjoy the moments He gives us. Laughter. Mac and I have got some fun stories through the years. Funny things. But they can have virtue to them. They can have friendship and faith and joy. God gives us moments for joy and laughter. There's a time to keep. A time to keep for the Christian means to hang on to. A time to hang on to something, to keep it, to stay with it. We need keepers in Christianity. Marathoners, as I said 2 weeks ago. People who are going to continue on, pressing on. A time to keep. Jonathan Thompson, keep holding on to Jesus Christ, His truth, His people, all that He's given. Drink from the waterfall, as Popper would say. Let Him overflow you. All of us. Do it, brother. Run with Him. Hang on to it. Stay with it. I say that to all of us. I say it to all of us. I say it to myself. Keep holding on to it. But particularly what I feel with Jonathan. What I see him taking joy in. Randy and Robin. Some of these are harder for me because they hit where I feel things. Just keep on ministering to those precious grandchildren. Your love, your strength, your ministry to those children. You know, they're with you often. We get to see them and hang on to those days. Use those days. They shared their story about their son, James. James has gone on. Heather, right? That's right. Heather's here. James didn't get to have children. Heather did. But God is sovereign. Rejoice with those grandchildren. Children's children are the crown of old men. Remember that passage? I think of it a lot now. I had a lap full of grandsons yesterday. And I thought of that. And I think of Randy and Robin. And it's such a tangible. Linda does with this, her grandchildren. Krista does it. I'm sure different ones I'm not even thinking of right now. Our grandchildren. There's a time to hang on and keep laboring, giving ourselves. And this thing of staying, this stay of keeping the course and hanging on to what God gives you. I think of the new families, the brethren we've met. Several of your new families. I don't think any of us knew this time last year these different families. The Holzlanders. What a joy to get to meet all of you. The Criscos. Praise be to God in His sovereignty. The Potts family. Brother Allen's not here today, but I want this to be to everyone. So the saints that even aren't here, I want them to be able to hear it. To the Randalls. They're here in the will of God. To the Walquist. Driving a long way. Hang on to what God gives you. Embrace it. Keep it. I don't know what that means in terms of years to come here, but when God gives you something and it's the right thing and it's got reality and He's in it, then hang on to it. Keep it. Keep enjoying the new church, the new growth, the new service, meaning your ministry of gifts. Keep giving that. Hang on to being fruitful, all to the glory of God. You precious families, you're here in the will of God. So what He has, maximize. Sponge out everything that He's given. Grow in it. Grow in it. Run. Let's run together. It's a joy to have new families. And it requires all of us at the individual level to be ready to give and ready to receive, right? That's why I like those projects we do at different people's houses when there's needs. Because it knits us together in a very practical, loving, tangible way. Just like we got to be at the Gunby's home. We rejoice that you're here. Whatever God has, take it. Hold on to it. There's a time to cast away. We talked about this in the world events, but there's things that you keep, you hold on to, you embrace them. And then there's a time to let go. You let go of things, right? Michelle and Brian. Is Brendan back there? There he is. I could feel in her voice. Now, Brendan, you can listen if you want to, or you can cover yours. But when a mom and a dad, but when parents let their children go to the next chapter, it's real. It's very real. You let go by faith, trusting the grace of God in your manhood. But mom had to do it, and dad has to do it. You have to let go of things. You were breaking new ground. I mean, the American way, oh, I can hardly wait till we empty nest. That says they don't really maybe treasure being a parent the same way. Empty nesting is hard. I hadn't got there yet. But it's hard. It's reality. You have to let go. It's the will of God. And so Michelle and Brian had to cast away or let go. Tom and Betty, they've gone through this with children, grown children. Particularly, uniquely, I think of Tom and Betty about Joel. He was gone for a while and you would reach out to him and he was back. But you've had to let him go. And ultimately, we let our children go, trusting the God of all grace. Lord, have them. Arrest them. Make them vessels of honor for your name's sake. I mean, it's not just a futile letting go. You have to believe God. You have to hope in God. We have to pray maybe like we've never prayed before. So this casting away is not, we forget. Lord, do great things. And Eric and Shana. Oh, my. To have to let go of that little Samuel? It was hard for me to type the notes there on that one. It's just a phenomenal thing that they went through. But you have to do it by faith. Samuel is God's. You can trust the grace of God. Your labor was not in vain. Your love, your connection. So be true of the children as well. Ethan and Shelby, you have to let go. It's hard. It's real. Friendships. And ultimate, in this case, a little boy and what's ahead for him. So letting go, like I said, it's heartfelt. It's real. So, beloved, there are going to be seasons of letting go. Either I'm going to bury Krista or she's going to bury me unless God takes us at the same time. Mac and Lee and I, different ones, we're going to speak at each other's funeral. We don't know. Mac keeps telling me that I'm going to speak at his funeral. He doesn't know that yet. We don't know what's ahead. But whatever, we're going to be letting go. We had our parents this week for Christmas time. Both sets of parents are still alive. You talk about trying to hold on and enjoy the moment, what God gives, and speak into their lives. Because you have to let go. You have to let go. There's a time to keep silence. I'm getting towards the end. There's a time to keep silent, right? That's hard. It'd be hard to keep silent. You just ponder that, where that applies in your life. There's time to speak, and then there's time to keep silent. Terry Owens, in my friendship and my connection with him, he's learning how at times, relating to others at work, that you have to be silent. There's a time to speak, but then there's a time to be silent. You have to understand in the grace of God and in the moments God gives, there's times that you've said all you've needed to say. That's really what I'm pointing out here. You've said what you've needed to say. You've said it in love. You've said it in previous times. And you're trusting God to do great things. Your place then is to love them. Be sincere. A time to keep silent. I think that's what I've had to learn a lot this year. I'm learning. Our oldest son, I've spoken into his life since a little boy. I believe in God for great things. A lot of what I do now is just be silent, be careful. I knew it would be emotional, but I have to be this honest with us. There is a time to be silent. Grace of God can help us to be silent when we need to be silent. You'll have to learn it too, you young moms and dads. There are going to be times you can't say anything else. You just got to be silent. Let God help you there. It's very real. People at work, distant or other family members, time to speak, time to be silent. A time to speak. Let me talk briefly on that. There is a time to speak. A time to speak with the right heart, with the right message, with the right truth. Tom and Kathy, I appreciate at times when you've shared about who you're speaking to. Tom's new birth in Christianity, you've got something to talk about now. You've got the thing to talk about. The woman at the well. I'm going to tell everybody what this guy at the well told me. Zacchaeus, he got down from that tree. I'm going to tell others what Jesus Christ has done for me. That's what we do. Tom and Kathy have been reaching out, contacting family, loving those that they hadn't seen in years, decades, if I understand this right. There is a time to speak. Words are powerful. Truth is powerful. And it ought to be communicated. And so, beloved, take those times. Speak when you're the time to speak. I'm having to learn silence in areas, but I have to keep speaking in other areas. Brother Jeff got to speak at his grandmother's funeral. What a time to speak. They spoke into your life for decades. And their granny had passed. She's gone. God took her home. And Jeff had the honor and the privilege to speak at the funeral. Now, I didn't get to hear it. I don't think anybody here, maybe with Tommy, I guess, or did she even get to go? So, there is a time to speak. And for Jeff, that was a time that it was his moment to speak. Gospel truth, gospel reality. Christians don't die in vain. They don't die without hope. They die with the hope. Children, if I'm not here next year, I'm going to be with Christ in the heavens. That's where I'm going to be. Okay? He's going to take me home one day. I don't know when that is. But I know this, when He takes me, it'll be infinitely greater. As wonderful as life here has been, it'll be so glorious. Whenever that is. And Jeff got to speak on that at his grandmother's funeral. Dylan's not here today, is he, Jonathan? I know he's been battling sickness. Dylan is quiet, gentle-spirited. And one of the things I've been trying to help him in a few times I've been with him, just learn to share. Just learn to share. There's a time to speak. Learn to engage. Nick's not the most talkative man in America either. Learn to speak. Learn to open up. Learn to share. Learn to open yourself up in the right way. And I don't mean to tease them in the wrong way, but share with other Christians. They'll share with you. There's an exchange. It happens. There's a time to speak like that. Dylan's learning it. He's learning it. There's a time to love. This is the last one. There's a time to love. Is there ever in the Christian life? It's all the time about love, right? All the time. If we can be instant in and out of season, right? Be preaching in and out of season, we certainly can have love abounding in and out of season at all days, at all times, with all peoples. There was a lot of stressed people these last few weeks. People at stores, people in parking lots. But I'm talking about the day-to-day living, a time to love. Now, there's real great moments of this. Jennifer and Kyle got married in September. Lee and I got to go out there. It was out at her home out there in the west side of Crum. There's a time to love, time to be brought together, a time to be knit together in love. And that's in that marriage way. For Nathaniel and Caitlin, they got married this year. We didn't know them. None of us here. It's a few that have known them in other backgrounds. But there is a time for love. I want Nathaniel and Caitlin, they know this because they've seen this with their parents and others. But trust me, it's wonderful now, but there's a lot better days ahead. It's great at 10 years and 20 years and 30 years. And Ron and Karen would tell you at 50 years, it's great. Because there's a time to love. The Christian has been brought into the ultimate love, right? That's why they were called Christians. Because they had love one for another. The gospel ought to be portrayed in the way David and Ebony relate. And Lee and Amber relate. Mac and Linda and Philip and Chris and Eric and Shana. The gospel of Jesus Christ ought to be put on display, right? Because love. So there's a time to be joined in marriage. That's love. There's other types of love. And we could go on and on. But for Nick and for Jake, for you guys, you have these roommates, these friends, these other guys, these Christian men that you're getting to know in this new journey, this new chapter. Learn to cultivate Christian love and friendship. There's times there's differences. Got to be able to handle those with some wisdom and some maturity. But learn to cultivate that. Just Jeff's been teaching Bible study. I've had Bible studies through the years in my different vocational work. Not everybody that shows up is on the same page. Man, I've had some guys get really angry at times. And then, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to be angry back. No, that's not what I'm going to do. Love. Time to love. There's enough hate. There's enough wars. There's enough murders going on. Christians ought to blaze the truth of love like none other. Right? And ultimately, all of us need to be walking in this day by day, week by week. Beloved, we were given great admonitions on heartfelt Christian Jesus Christ-like love when Lee preached through 1 Corinthians 13. We had this year a series of teachings on 1 Corinthians that we may never have again. Some of you were coming into the church body about that time, and you came in on that series. But he and his love for God's people and love for Christ was giving those sermons out to bolster us in the truth of love. There is a time to love. There is a life to love, meaning to be fruitful in. It's not on and off. It's constant. It ought to flow through us because that's Christ's life. Yes, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Beloved, brothers, sisters, dear ones, the times and seasons of your life and my life are in His hand. And therefore, 2014 has been the hand of God in the lives of His people. And therefore, we can have faith and joy and hope for what is ahead. 3 days from now, we get a new calendar year. And our God's in the heavens and He does whatsoever He pleases and He will do that for us. He will direct us. So have hope and faith in Him. David said it wonderfully. Yes, with tears and hard things and all that life we go through. But David said this, and it's true for us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank You for loving us. And saving us and carrying us through this last year. The kindness and mercies of God. Lord, it is emotional for me just to reflect. And I'm just skimming the surface. But it shows us all that truly God is for us. You've been with us. Lord, there's some of us have been here from the early days of this church. Some have come along the way. Some new families have just come in the last few months. But the church is Yours, Lord Jesus. It's Your bride. It's Your people. And we thank You for carrying us through the days, through the months, through the joys, through the hard things. Lord, we want to walk with You. We want to look ahead to 2015. We want to run with our God. We want to be fruitful. abounding in the work of God. Sanctify us in your truth. Give us more of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want more fullness of the Holy Spirit, more fullness of love to walk worthy of your name. Through Christ our Lord, we rejoice. Amen.